The Chai FM Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Well, there you go. David Harris, he is the chief editor of the Clarion Project, and he's talking to us today. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you. What a warm welcome and a happy new year to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you so much. We won't ask you how many cows you are worth, David. Don't worry. But we have an app for that. Now, some hectic stuff happening all over the world. Lots and lots of stuff to do with voting. German elections. What's going down on that side of things?
First of all, from a perspective that I don't particularly cover because my you know area of research is terror and so on, but just to point out that this is the worst result for Angela Merkel's party in many, many years. Also, the worst. She's a centre-right party. Also, one of the worst results in many years for the Socialist Party, the Social Democrats. And you've got to ask yourself, well, if the two major blocs since the Second World War have had their worst performance in many years, what has taken their place? And that's where our conversation begins, because the party known as the Alternative for Germany, the AfD, has taken, 13% of seats, making it the third largest party in German politics. We're talking about an anti-immigration party, a party that has very objectionable views with regard to Jewish people, with regard to the Holocaust, suggesting that there were many successes in the Second World War, which is their byword for saying that the Holocaust was a good thing. This is a very worrying day for anybody who cares about racism. And the reason that I'm involved in this is the link between this and the softer policies on migration that have been adopted by the German government before the election, by Merkel's government. Clarion is not anti-immigration, far from it. What we want to see, though, across the world is safe migration, where potential terrorists, people who are known extremists, are weeded out and are prevented from entering a country. If that doesn't happen, you get terror attacks, and then you get votes for the far right.
Now, besides the votes for the far right, there were some other interesting things that came through. The Liberal Party getting back into parliament for the first time. But the biggest problem seems to be in terms of the Germans is that no one got over 50%. So they're going to have basically a coalition, because no one will work with the far right, of the Liberals, the Greens, and the religious conservatives. It sounds like a governing party nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when we talk about the religious, we should use that word very carefully. We're not talking about
evangelical.
We're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about a party that has its roots in Christian heritage, that is proud of the fact that Germany and that Europe are Christian, but it's not that much beyond that. That having been said, to make the jump from that type of centre-right party all the way over to the Greens and forming a coalition like that, that could be very problematic. And the leader of the Green Party has already said this is not a foregone conclusion. You know, all the media pundits are saying that's what's going to be. The Greens are saying, hang on a minute, there are many, many major differences between us and Merkel's party. So we'll have to see. And don't forget, Merkel's party, or Merkel's bloc, is actually made up itself of two parties. So you're going to end up with a four-party coalition, which makes it sound a bit like Israel or Italy, the way it's going at the moment.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. So that's the Germans, who are going a bit crazy. On the other side of the world, the Kurds are having their own democratic engagement. Talk to us about that.
This one is much more controversial, and while on the initial look at it, it doesn't appear to be as significant in terms of world politics as the German vote, after all, Germany is one of the major powers in the world and so on, this election has the potential, this vote has the potential to ruffle so many feathers that we get a butterfly effect coming out of the Middle East and spreading all over the world. This is a major, major story. We're talking about a referendum. The question is, do we want Kurdish independence? The Kurds are voting. The independence that they are being promised by Masoud Barzani, their president, is a secular democracy with guaranteed rights to freedom of worship, freedom of expression, and so on and so forth for minorities, which in this case means the religious folk. Normally we think of the Middle East as being, you know, religious first and then secular second. In the case of the Kurds, it's the other way around. Now, to the Western eyes, the Kurds in general seem to be the good guys. And certainly as far as the Jewish community is concerned, they're pro-Israeli and so on and so forth. But the Kurds are also very divided. So don't, you know, we shouldn't just think, oh, all the Kurds are the good guys and everybody else around them are the bad guys. It's much more nuanced than that. But in general, it's fair to say that the Kurds are incredibly pro-Western, pro-democracy, pro-freedoms. And at the end of the day, don't forget, they've suffered intensely under ISIS. But, and I don't know if you want to talk about this, we also have to think about all of the countries around them and why they object.
Well, can you just give us a bit of a background? Someone SMSing in here saying, who are the Kurds? You know, why, you know, why the sending for independence? Where do they live? Just give us a bit of background. What is a Kurd?
Ethnically, the Kurds are different, a different group from the Arabs. There are Jewish Kurds, there are Muslim Kurds, there are Christian Kurds. And indeed, there is in Israel, there is quite a large Jewish Kurdish community. They live today in four major countries in the Middle East. Those four countries are all geographically connected. They are Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. All four countries view their Kurdish minorities as a threat. In the case of certainly Turkey, famously with the PKK, excuse me, but not just, also in Iran, they've designated the militaries, the local militaries, the paramilitaries of the Kurds as being terrorist organizations. And whilst the West has helped arm some of these Kurdish groups, and we've talked about the success of the Peshmerga fighting against ISIS, these groupings are viewed incredibly suspiciously by all the four countries I mentioned. And if you start with a Kurdistan, a country of the Kurds in Iraq, who's to say that there won't afterwards be demands for Kurdish autonomy or independence for the Kurds in Turkey, in Syria, and in Iran? So all of these countries have what to lose. And on top of all of that, the Kurds sit on some of the major natural resources, the oil reserves and more in the Middle East. And the Iraqis are very concerned about that because they see that as a major source of income. And if you then get an independent state rather than an autonomous Kurdish region, then Iraq is going to lose any tax revenue at all coming in from the oil. So those are the major concerns right now.
Do the Kurds, I've also read, have their own sort of, not just inter-ethnic things that you've dealt with a little bit, but they also don't get along so well with some of the other ethnic minorities? The group whose name has now completely escaped my mind that was also having problems with ISIS.
The Yazidis.
Yazidis, that's right. I mean, the Kurds, yep, and the Yazidis have not always gotten on so well. Are we risking sort of a balkanization of the Middle East on one end? And also, let's be honest, we don't really like the Iranians at the moment. So isn't it to the Western benefit to have something like this as a bulwark against the Turks and their craziness and the Iranians and their theocracies?
So with regard to the first part of your question, absolutely, there are differences between the Kurds and the Yazidis and all of the other sects. And it's not just in that realm. Also, if you take, for example, the Christians in the Middle East, and don't forget the Christians are among the most persecuted people right now in the Middle East, and yet they are deeply divided amongst themselves. In Syria and Iraq, the divisions between the different sects are phenomenal. And if you use the wrong word in trying to define one of them and their beliefs, you get an earful from people. So that's on that side. clearly, anybody who is concerned by the Iranian regime and also everything that's happening throughout the region that is right now controlled by Iran, I would argue that Iran today is by far the strongest player in the Middle East in terms of the territory it controls, in terms of the fear it instills in people, and that's a real problem. And yes, you're absolutely right. The Kurds have been prepared like nobody else, not only to stand up to ISIS, but also to stand up to Iran. And of course, that is really irksome in the least for the Iranians, which is another reason why they object. The Iraqi government, which is Shiite and is basically controlled by Iran now, has called on the neighbors to shut down airspace for flights from Erbil, the Kurdish capital. The Iranians immediately said, yep, our airspace is closed. We're expecting the Turks to follow suit. If you think about it, the Kurds, even though there are lots of problems and it's much more complicated, as I said, than initially appears to be the case, but if you think about who is surrounding the Kurds, you've got Erdogan in Ankara, you've got the Ayatollahs in Iran, Iraq is controlled by Iran today, and you've got Assad, who is suddenly being painted once again as the good guy in Syria, which is crazy, and all of these people are surrounding the Kurds, and all of these people, really, if they were being honest, would like to see the Kurds not being there, let's put it that way, then yes, we in the West, this is Clarion's opinion, really should be backing the Kurds. And we are somewhat concerned that the Trump administration has not been supportive of this referendum process.
Well, there you go. Certainly will be interesting to see what's going on. David Harris from the Clarion Project, thank you so much for bringing us this update on terrorism and some of the political issues that are surrounding it.
Take care. Have a wonderful week.